We left off in the previous sugya. We were discussing the Ne'amonus of Balametach. Ne'amon tells us, told him in his Kedushin, as well as in the Tzitzit HaBeis, that the person, the store owner, has a certain degree of Ne'amonus to identify who exactly he sold the item to. So Rashi, both in the Tzitzit and Kedushin, explained that the Ne'amonus of the Balametach can sometimes go even past the point if the Balametach doesn't even have the object anymore. Means he sold it already. It's ready open. It's ready a week later. And they come to bring him into Beis and says, so tell me, who did you sell it to? So Rashi says that the certain circumstances are going to be relieved. So then you get the nuances in the sugya about, is it only if he sold to one person or two people? How much is he going to remember? Not going to remember. Those are already details. But fundamentally, in terms of the Ikradin, Rashi holds clearly, both in Kiddush and above Metzid of Beis, that a Balametach does have a certain degree of Ne'amonus even after the object is no longer in his possession. And the question is based on what? Why should he be believed? So we had a few Mahalchim last week, the Ran in Kedushin literally threw his hands up and says, Min HaTorah, for sure not. How can it be believed? It's only an Echad. The Ran said, it's only a Techaret Tuchamim. That's it. Can't be a Midaraisa. But we have another suggestion based on others who perhaps it's based on the Gemara Maseches Yevama, about Gili Milsa B'Yama. Sometimes when you have an Eidos, it's not a, well, you hear him. Okay. Anyone else?
No.
Okay. So the we had another approach that's based on Gili Milsa B'Yama, that anytime you have an Eidos, it's not an integral part of the story. We give the motion from Maseches Yevama, that we're just trying to figure out some facts. Is the person the brother? Is it not the brother? It's not the main show, the chalitza issue. So then maybe an erechad would be believed. So over here, perhaps this is considered to be kind of a gilui milsa, as the Rebbe presented it. And then we began at the very end of the show last week, the third approach, that maybe the reason why the erechad is believed is because when is an erechad not accepted in the Amonis, that's when he's coming against the muksa. He's coming to take away money from somebody. So an erechad comes to the Beis and says, Reuven broke Shimon's window and therefore Reuven has to pay. Or an erechad comes and says, Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon and therefore he has to return the money. So that's an erechad coming to the Hotzi with that muksak. That's a problem. That's what the Torah says, Apishnai Levi Yachom Dover. But in a case where there is no muksak, such as we said in the name of the Rad, take us back to the ninth of the Marmakos for a minute. So the Rad said, wasn't the Mitzianai Mehemon Adam Loma Elul Kenel Shafloni? The Kenel Leisa Anominem Achashim the Bishaka. The Rad said, that if I walk at the basin and I say this item belongs to Plony, there's no reason to believe that I'm going to lie, and therefore I'm believed. So the question is, why am I believed? I'm only an erechad. So the obvious pshat of the Ran is that an erechad is believed in the absence of a chesed moment. So the case of identifying who there is next to you. So, I mean, we may get to it. We come in with very high aspirations. Exactly about the same thing. So the Rad says that when I find the lost object, there's no muksa over here. We know it doesn't belong to me. The person who found it made it for sure is not going to get it. So now when an outsider comes and says, this belongs to Reuven, so he's not being motzi midei chazaka. So therefore, an erechad would be believed. The limitation of apishnai neidim yachom dover doesn't apply in the absence of a cheskes mamon. So according to the Rad, we can begin to understand why in the case of shnei muksa betalis, why in the case of the balamekach, why perhaps the balamekach would be believed, because I'm not taking away from a muksa, because forget, they're both muksakim. Because when Reuven's holding on to it, Shimon's holding on to it, so there's no muksa per se, I'm not taking away somebody's money, maybe one could argue that an erechad would be effective. That was our third pshat last week. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how come the other Rishonim didn't say this? How come Tosfos didn't say this? How come the Ran himself didn't say this in Maseches Kedushin? How come the Shulchan Aruch didn't say this? Nobody seems to be going this route based on the Ran. So we came up with this razzle-dazzle shot that whenever there's no muksak and an erechad is believed, but how come we're the first ones to say this? How come the Rishonim himself didn't say this? So the Chora, this goes back to something that we mentioned already quite some time ago, the very ABCs in terms of the Shnei Muksa Metalos. Two people walk at the base and each one holding onto a talus, so we know what the answer is going to be. We know Yechloik in the end. We know the Mishnah. We spent really enough time on the Mishnah. But conceptually, we have to ask ourselves, how do we view Shnei Muksa Metalos vis-a-vis the regular rules of Muksak? So we can understand Shnei Muksa Metalos in one of two ways. Either you can say that there is no Muksak, but I'm holding on to something, but you're holding on at the same time. What kind of Muksak is that? It's a pretty ineffective way of demonstrating bailus if you're holding on to the same talus. So maybe we have to view a Shnei Muksa Metalos as need with them being Muksuk. Or maybe you can argue the opposite is true. We're both Muksuk. I'm Muksuk. And you're Muksuk. So my nafkamina, at the end of the day it's going to be a chlokim, at the end of the day it's going to be a shmu, at the end of the day it doesn't really make a difference. It makes a big difference, it makes a big difference for our sugya. How do we look at such a sugya? Do we view Shabbat Muxa Metallus as there is a muxok, and therefore we're in effect taking away from muxok, a muxok in a certain sense, in the whole palace, and your muxok on the whole palace. So now when we pass in Yachloku, we're taking away someone's muxokos. Is that the pshat? We're trying to know that since you were never really a muxok in the first place, because there was somebody else holding on to the same way you were holding on to, that's not the equivalent of removing a muxokos.
Oh, we're
going to get to call the rabbi. Oh, that's going to be one of the rabbis. So maybe that's the issue that the Rishonim is arguing over here. It could be that the Ran and Chulin is right, that whenever you have a Din Torah of Din Mamonis without a Muchzok, you know the Nami Nei Nechad is believed. So how come nobody says the Nei Nechad is believed in the case of Shnai Muchzok and Talos? How come most of the Rishonim are saying that the Balamekach is not believed, that even Rashi is saying the Balamekach is believed, the Ran and Kiddushin said it's only the Rabbanan? How come nobody says Minat Torah? Nobody came to the Shia last week, but nobody said Ashtekot Torah, that he's believed the Torah is Erechot in the absence of Muxok? The answer is, because maybe this is not called an absence of Muxok. Maybe this is the presence of Muxok. It's a funny kind of a Muxok, but it's a dual Muxok. So if you hold the Shtai Muxok of Metallus is a Muxok, then I understand quite well why the Erechot would not be effective. What is the answer to that question? Ishnai Muxuk Batal, yes, a Muxuk is not a Muxuk, so Steve says correct. We had that Machlaik is ready in the very first Sugya. So remember going all the way back to the Beis, all the way back, we're still in the Beis, we go back to the Beis from now to the Beis back. So we had the famous question, all of you should have above, with the very first Sugya. How come we passed in Ishnai Muxuk Batal, Yechlaiku? What happened to Kol Da'ol Gvar? Gvar Baba Basra has cases where we can't ascertain who's the owner, so we just throw our hands up and let them fight it out, Kol Da'ol Gvar. So what are the rules? When do you say Yechlok or when do you say Kol Da'ol Gvar? So one of the approaches in the Rishonim was that depends on this very point, that when there's no Muxok, called the case in Baba Basra, where it's a question of the boat, when the boat is out in the sea and nobody's holding on to it, or the case of the land, because there's never Muxok by land. So in those kind of scenarios, then we could say Kol Da'ol Gvar. But whenever this Muxok text is quoted, how can we say Kol Da'ol Gvar? We're going to help him, Gazin Zaganov. We're going to tell them to go fight it out. You see, the guy's a Muxok. So Kol Da'ol Gvar is not an acceptable psak in the realm of Muxok. So you see clearly that Tosis, at least one day at the base, understood that Shnai Muxok Metallus has the status of Muxok. And the other guy's Muxok. So what? So we can two Muxoks. What's the big deal? But other days in Tosis didn't say that. Other days in Tosis said that Muxok doesn't play a role in the Sugya. Maybe Muxok doesn't play a role in the Sugya because there's a Muxok in Shnai Muxok Metallus. So in order to settle this conceptual, fundamental question that how to view a Shnai Muxok Metallus, is there a Muxok or is there not a Muxok, is now going to chat Nafkaminis. Nafkaminis and the Sugyas of Kol Da'ol Gvar. Nafkaminis now the Sugya of Erechot. So again, so we have a potential mahalach in the Sugya, why the Erechot is believed according to Rashi. Maybe it's based on the fact that there's no Muxok to speak of. This is all assuming that the Ran of Chulin is correct, that an Erechot is believed in the absence of a Muxok. Now, the only case that we had as a test case was Metzia. That was the only case we could think of where I find a lost object and there is no Muxok here, and the Erechot comes and says, yeah, that belongs to Reuben. I don't know if it belongs to Reuben or not. The Erechot comes and says, yeah, I know, and I recognize that it belongs to Reuben. So the Ran HaChulin said, so give it away and give it back to Reuben, because the Erechot is now one in the absence of a Muxok. That statement, even of the Ran itself, is highly questionable. So if you take a look at the last of the Maamar Kermis, number 10, the Rabbeinu Kreskes, the Maseches Gittin, of course, Zayin Rav disagrees. Who was Rabbeinu Kreskes? I'll tell you who they thought he was. For many years, they thought it was the Ritva. There were these Kedushin that were written on Maseches Gittin that were around for hundreds of years, and we just assumed that they belonged to the Ritva. Then, within the last couple of generations, they came to the realization that they weren't really the Ritva. Already some of them, 1,500 years ago, then they realized that that's not true. This wasn't exactly the words of the Ritva. It turned out they were really the Chedushim of Rabbeinu Kreskes. Rabbeinu Kreskes was a contemporary of the Ritva from that same school of thought, so there were certain similarities to him and the Ritva, but it wasn't the Ritva himself. They subsequently did dig up the Chedushim of HaRitva to Maseches Gittin. So that's when you buy the Chedushim of Ritva in Maseches Gittin, one volume, it's actually two volumes, half a base, when you buy the Chedushim of Ritva, so they have the Rabbeinu Kreskes, and they have the new Chedushim of Ritva. But the Maisa, out of the two, the Chedush Moshe Rabbeinu Kretzkis have become the more popular ones. They were the ones that were known as the Rizbal for so many years, so they keep on being called Chiddushim HaMiyuchasim, the Rizbal, whatever you want to call them. So had to be academically honest, I wrote Chiddushim HaRabbeinu Kretzkis, but some yeshivas are still called the Rizbal. Anyway, get back to that. We gave a little historical lesson. Comes to Rabbeinu Kretzkis and makes the important statement as follows. Umiyu says to Rabbeinu Kretzkis, a few surveyed the Rabbanan, even if you have a Talmid Chacham who we usually can be trusted to identify an Aveda, when do we return an Aveda to a Talmid Chacham just because he says it looks like it's his? Omer Rabbeinu, the Dafkub Davash of Shalom, that's what he identifies as own. Let's say the greatest Talmid Chacham walks in the Beis Din and says, why I recognize that Aveda belongs to Plony, but I'm only an Erechot. The Easti Tfios Eina Begavei, lo, and I recognize it, we don't accept it. Why? Tavadei Eidesu, Kevin Shemele Acheirim, says it in the Kreskes, whenever you testify about somebody else's money, we call that Eidos. Well, the Eidos, lo, my so remember, Fremi Amoritz, and Eidos, you can be the greatest Talmid Chacham, you can be Moshe Rabbeinu, but you're only an Erechot. So what the Rebbeinu Kretzkis is saying, that even Rukas Aveda, where there is no Muxuch at all, nobody's Muxuch in Aveda, Apopichet, and Erechot is not believed. So Rebbeinu Kretzkis is arguing with the Ran in Chulin, he's assuming Apishtai Meirim Yechum Dovar means exactly what it says, it doesn't depend on Muxuch, a lack thereof. You can have a Paschidid moment is for any case that requires Eidos, short of Shnei Eidim. So the bottom line is, we going back to our sugya in terms of the Erechot, so we have Shikus Rashi. We know that Rashi holds as a certain degree of Nermanus to Baal Nekach, even when it's Eimech HaBiyadah. And the question is, what's it based on? Where do we ever find an Erechot believed in Mominus? So we have three Mahalchim. We had the Ran from Maseches Kedusha that we spoke about last week, that the Ran said it's only with the Rabbanan, it cannot be with the Reis, it's a Hefkin Bezen Hefkin, it's a Takona, and that's it. Then we had the Shikus Kubetzis who said it's based on Gilead Nosa B'Yahama. Since we're not talking about the main part of the story, we're talking about the technical detail, who gave the money to Ratzon. So we connected it to the Sugi Yifam Islam test we spoke about Kerichus last week. And the third possibility that we're suggesting, based on the Ran and Chulin, maybe it's based on the fact that there's no Muxuf. That's only true if two things are true. Number one, you have to accept the Ran's theory that in the absence of Muxuf, Erech is believed against the Menachreskas. And number two, you have to assume Shlomo Muxuf Metalas is not called a Muxuf, which again depends on the Taisus back from Kol Yom
Ba'al. So correct in saying that Hadash Balden is a case of Muxuf. That's why it works. So it's only, he says the servitor of Abaddon would only be believed on his own.
Right, right. Well, it's not about this, because this is usually when I'm saying that I'm chayiv. Here, the Hodos Baldin is saying that I should get something.
So how can you say?
Because he's saying it's not
if it's not working on a muxik.
What's the nature of the din that a tzur rabban is believed on his own?
Yes.
Forget about that's already a different. That's a good question. So why don't you say that? Regardless of what you hold about the sugi, you have to understand that Gemara Mitzia. Why is it Tzuvim Rabbanan, but Talmid Chacham believed to identify his own Aveda? He doesn't have a Simon, so he's not coming to Bechus Simanim. Why is he Stam believed? So the Rebbeinu Kretzkis is clearly learning that's not a Chas Eidus. What is that based on? Rove? Maybe there's a Rove. There's a Rove that he's probably telling the truth, but if there's a Rove that he's telling the truth, that's good enough when there's no Muxok, then why doesn't it work for somebody else's also? So that lie that Rebbeinu Kretzkis says about by the Eidusu came through Meir Becher. He seems to be learning that whenever it's addressing somebody else, even though we don't know who the other person is, the other person, we have no idea who the quote-unquote Muxak is. It still considers the Eidus, right? It's a little bit of a tough split. Okay, so we finished this past again. I'll bring the next thing up. Three sheets. Unfortunately, the statement situation is not at home, has not been rectified, at least that I know.